is bad. But you know what? I don't care. You know why? Because this is me. And this is you. And sometimes you're late, right? So there we go. I'm just giving you what I get sometimes, all right? How about that? I'm just kidding. Welcome. I'm so happy you're here. I'm actually one of the pastors here if you are brand new to New Song this morning. How's it going? Yeah? Give yourself a round of applause for being here. I'm so happy that you're here. Whether we have met over coffee or whether we have met over the workday yesterday or whether we go way back or whether we haven't met, so, so glad you're here this morning. That really threw me off. That was hilarious. Well, speaking of workday, let's celebrate. Yesterday we had this amazing workday here at New Song. We have some pictures here to show you. And there's Aaron. I don't even know what that mechanism is. What was that, Aaron? Ghostbusters? She was getting ghosts. Okay. There's Pack with all the weeds and stuff. Look at all that stuff happening. I got to tell you guys that I took a picture of it just because I spend a lot of time in the dumpster here at New Song, which sounds really weird, but I clean it up all the time, or I'm in there throwing away trash because of pantry, because of this, because of that. I have never seen the dumpster be more clean than I did yesterday. And that was probably the happiest day. That was probably the happiest point of the day. So is that it? Are we good with pictures? Look, there's a leaf blower. Everyone had fun with that leaf blower too. Ben there cleaning the windows. Chris is there taking out the trash. Look at Ellie. Ellie's in there. So just thank you, thank you, thank you for the wonderful, wonderful work that was done around campus. And if you see something, you know, that that seems a little cleaner or whatnot, you know, just take a moment to appreciate it because it probably won't last that way for a very long time until our next cleanup day. So just what a great way to partner together and to band together as a community. So thank you. It's great. Another amazing thing that happened this week was that our student ministries pastor, Stephen, are you here somewhere, Stephen? He's probably outside doing the barbecue, which I'm going to tell you about in a moment. But we had a barbecue, an outreach to the high school and the middle school across the street in partnership with our student ministries night on Wednesday night. And there was, from what I heard, there was about 55 people that came that weren't a part of New Song, which is amazing. Look at that, right? And if you are just visiting us today and you don't know anything about us, you have to know right now that we are a church. We are a church that believes that if we were gone tomorrow, would our community feel it? And the answer is yes. I know they would feel it. We don't want to be a church just inside these walls looking at each other every Sunday morning. We want to be a church that lives out our mission and vision, which is following Jesus, loving people, and doing good. Even when it's hard work, even when it's a little bit of an expense sometimes, even when it's working all week and we can't see the end of the week. There's Stephen. Give Stephen a hand. He's worked a lot this week. So please know that about our church, that we are not people that just sit inside on a Sunday morning and don't do things. This was also seen yesterday by our pantry ministry. We served over 60 cars yesterday. Look at all those boys, team boys, right? They were moving easy ups. They were moving traffic. I got a picture of the veggie table here too. And again, if this is something that calls your name, that you say, hey, I want to check that out, come talk to me afterwards. I can connect you. Grant can connect you. Stephen can connect you. An elder can connect you. Please say something, because the more people we have involved, it feels better. It feels better. So thank you so much for all of those things that happened this week. Thank you for the teams and the barbecue. Thank you. Just what a great week of partnership. So a couple things I need to mention. Ladies, 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 I have 44 ladies signed up for our summertime tea on July 6th. So today is the last day that you can sign up, okay? So if you are going to be around, please sign up. And the idea of this is also, hey, let's not just invite people who maybe already go to another church, who maybe already, you know, are somewhere else involved in a community. The idea is let's invite people that need to be connected, that need to be seen. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's your mom. Maybe it's your sister. I don't know who it is, but whoever it is, the idea is come, get connected, have some conversation. And like I said last week, if you've done tea with me, you know we know how to do it. Right? Right, ladies? Right. All right. So please see me afterwards for sign up. It is $10 a person, and we will ask you to bring something to eat along with that in order to keep it so low. You know, someone who goes to another church said, I just charge $65 for my tea. So there you go, right? We like to keep it affordable and reachable here at New Song. So the other thing that I would like to mention is next week is Father's Day, and we want to celebrate the fathers in our community. We want to celebrate fathers and people that have been there in our lives. This is a difficult day, as we say, for Mother's Day, same thing. Father's Day, same thing. But we are wanting to celebrate the men in here and maybe someone that you are honoring. So next week, we're going to have dads and Danishes, okay? So dads and Danishes, right? That was pretty clever. I thought that was pretty good. So next week, starting at 9:30, please feel free to come. And everyone, whether you come with a father or you're celebrating or not, everyone is invited to participate in grabbing a Danish, okay? So is that understood? Please come 9:30 next week. Next to last thing that I would like to tell you is that on June 12th, Wednesday, June 12th, which is this Wednesday, okay? This Wednesday, we have pastoral prayer time set up in here at 6:30 to 8 p.m. And we have different stations around the room where you can pray with one of us pastors or an elder. And it's about a 15-minute time slot. You can just come and say, hey, I'm just here. I would like a prayer. You don't even have to say much, okay? You can come and you can pour your heart out for the 15 minutes and then we'll pray for you afterwards. But it is really meant for some one-on-one pastoral care from a pastor or from an elder. So please take advantage of that time, 6:30 to 8. You just kind of show up and we kind of rotate you wherever, whoever's available at that moment. So please come at that time. But the big, big thing today that I want to tell you is that we are having a barbecue right afterwards, all right? Who can smell those burgers already? Anyone? No one? They're not cooking yet, so you can't say that either. So this is really a big push for summer camp fundraisers, okay, for the kids going to summer camp. We are selling burgers today and chips and some other things. And the student ministries will be out there and hoping that you will pass by for a burger and make a donation because they are trying to get to camp the first week of August. And camp is a big expense. And so please support the students in their efforts to do that. So lastly, let's not forget that we are, if you're brand new today, we are New Song Church. We are an independent church. We don't belong to a denomination, and we are fully supported by ourselves. And so we are in this campaign to meet the end of the year budget. There's just a few weeks left. So please don't forget to give online or through the church app, or there's a couple boxes in the foyer where you can drop an envelope with a check or cash. And you can also drop a Connect card if you're visiting us and want some more information. You can also drop a prayer card. And as we say, you know, when we mention the prayer cards, we get a ton of updates and a ton of requests, and sometimes we forget to mention it from up here and then we don't know. So please remember to fill out a prayer card if there is something we can be praying for this week. We'd love to be praying for that. So Will you join me in prayer now? And let's get to it. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for this series we have been in of the Apostles' Creed, Lord. Lord, this morning we say, I believe. I believe, Lord, and maybe some of us in here don't know what we believe quite fully or quite understand or quite whatever it is, God. God, you know where each and every one of us is at this morning. You know what we're struggling with in our hearts. You know what we're struggling with to pursue, to cut ties with, to, Lord, you know our hearts and our minds. God, I pray that as Grant wraps up the series this morning, as he brings the word this morning, God, that you would speak through him, that you would speak through the activities we're going to do today, Lord. Lord, thank you so much for each and every person that is here today. They came because that was your plan, Lord. That was your purpose. God, we trust you with that, and we trust what you will do with that. Lord, be with all the events of this week, from the barbecue to the pastoral meetings to everything happening, God. God, I pray that you would, that your Holy Spirit would speak to each of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's your turn now. Come on. Did you get your cue?
Yeah, I got it. I'm a professional. No, I'm most certainly not. Good morning. We have a special morning this morning. I'm hopefully going to speak a little less time than usual because there's going to be some time for us to have some hands-on participation at some stations around the room, which we hope will be meaningful and helpful for us as we consider the Apostles' Creed. We've been doing this for 6 weeks. I have enjoyed it immensely. It's kind of an itch that I've been wanting to scratch, you know, which is a weird expression, but, you know, the idea of, like, what are the central beliefs that we have that unite us, especially in a world that is so divided? I believe there's nothing more important than a collective, passionate movement towards a deeper understanding and allegiance to the simple gospel of Jesus and his kingdom. It feels like all around us in our society, and including in many, many churches, people are turning to the weapons of the world to try and achieve their goals, the ultimate goals, that we have been told time and time and time again that we are not to pick up the weapons of the world. Our weapons are prayer and faith, and we declare that we put our trust in the risen and coming King of all creation who sustains our hope through all circumstances. That story's not changed. And in 1 Timothy, Paul writes to his friend some words. And Paul's in jail. He's not doing well according to how you would measure, you know, a successful leader, right? He's been arrested. He's in jail. He's talking about his race is coming to an end. And he says to Timothy, his friend and a leader, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. What's his confession? In the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, the Roman guy, right, who questioned him, he made the good confession. What is the good confession? Well, it's the central aspect of this creed that Jesus is the Messiah, and with all that that entails. We've been talking about this banner over here in essentials, unity, non-essentials, liberty, and all things love. And we believe strongly that this is important because we want to have we do stand for some things. We do believe that in Christ we've seen something magnificent and beautiful and powerful and hopeful, and we want to share that. But of course, there are many other things that people can disagree about, and it sadly will split brothers and sisters up. And we're trying to get to what is it that we truly believe that will be the power in our community. There's also, you know, non-essentials liberty. You can believe things about certain aspects that are not maybe part of this essentials part. And all things love. We want to be a church where we may disagree about some things, but we do so respectfully because we're all in God's image. That's where we start. We're on this level playing field that we're human beings. Whom Christ gave his life for. We talked about this diagram of these concentric circles, which I find really helpful. And invite, you know, the further out we get from the center, the more we might want to hold lightly to some of these ideas, these doctrines. Starts in the center with the person of Jesus, move out slightly into dogma. These are the things that the church has believed throughout time, from the very first witnesses to Christ and up to these days, that we share with many denominations and many groups of people. Then there's doctrine, and often that which divides. Many important things there also, but maybe not quite so clear. And then beyond that, which is so common in our division, is opinion. We wanted to look with clarity at these central aspects because they were given pretty early on from scripture and experience that these were the whole things to hold on to hold fast to. You know, and beliefs matter. Our sermon's kind of called I Believe, and then So What? And that's kind of a skeptic's question. But it's a good question for us perhaps to ask also. Is this just head knowledge? Is this a thing that we recite for some religious purpose? Or is this something that goes deep into our lives, into our words and our actions, our behavior, our perspectives on ourselves, on God, on creation, on other people? Every single day we act according to our beliefs. We put confidence in things that we believe are trustworthy, and we live according to that confidence. So the seasons, summer, winter, spring, autumn. Relationships, gravity, you know? A lot of things depend on things being somewhat trustworthy. Well, a creed, as we said at the very beginning, 6 weeks ago or 7 weeks ago, a creed is passed along because it is true and proven to be so by lived experience. Like I talked about my dad saying, son, whatever you do, don't quit a job till you find another job, right? That's wisdom passed along from father to father to son, right? My son recently got a new job, and I was so pleased to hear that he moved into his new job from a job he was wanting to quit, and I'm like really proud of him. A creed is also lingers and remains, not through coercion, but through this stuff matters and it counts and it changes our lives. You know, we've built this little thing over here. We didn't talk about it much in the first few weeks. We wanted to kind of just like have it appear at the side each week. What have we built? There's a few things we could say that these boxes make up. One is a foundation, perhaps. Any builders here? Ron. Ron the builder. Yeah, man. A foundation is important, right? This could be a foundation. These beliefs could be something that we could maybe stand upon, have some security for our lives. What about a wall? It kind of feels like a wall, doesn't it, maybe, too? And there is this kind of idea of separation, of moving in or out of belief or conviction in these things. But interesting enough, we've also talked about this wall is very porous. Like we talk about our church, we want the walls to be porous. It's not some strong definition between who's in and who's out. There's a to and fro, a coming and a going, and a wrestling with faith, even in this. The third thing it could be is a shelter. We maybe need more boxes in order to shelter someone like me, but I kind of like the idea that in this world, maybe some of these beliefs are somewhat a shelter for us. It talks about God being a strong tower. I run into this tower and I am saved. The main thing to say, it's good news. It's apparently good news. It should be good news for people. So we're briefly going to go through the creed again and think about what it might mean for us in everyday life. The first thing is this one here, God the Father says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. So the idea of Father is a metaphor. If you haven't listened to these, heard these messages, you weren't here for them, you can go back. They're on our website if you want to go back and listen to them, because I'm going to be pretty brief here. Amen, says everybody. Father is a metaphor. We've talked about the fact Father's Day is next week. It could be difficult for us because not all fathers are good fathers. And even the best fathers fail us sometimes. I'm one. I speak from experience here. I have a father. I am a father. Now, the idea of creator is important, that this is a God who purposely created all that there is. And he loves all that he has made. It's the work of his hands. You know, when your little kid comes home from school and has made a picture, they're so proud of that picture. And you're excited to see it. So a creator, that means intention, purpose, beauty. I think it's amazing that we think about nature. We don't think about nature enough. You guys, we all need to go hiking more often, okay? I think, you know, there's mystery in nature. Anyone who's explored the sciences or these things, you know, understand there's so much we still don't know. And I think that's reflective of the mystery in God. This is a God who is not immediately apparent as one that we can know. Like in the Old Testament, we don't understand sometimes who this God is. But this tells us that God is almighty, that he is able to oversee and overrule all that happens in his creation. There's a sense of sovereignty and providence here. So what does this mean for us? That there's a God who's a father? Well, it's three things, I think. Confidence. It can give us confidence that we're not unhitched, unmoored in this random world. There is a purpose and a plan. There's a God who is here, who has set these things into motion and who oversees them. It can give us hope. And it can also remind us that we're stewards of this creation. We tend that garden. One of the greatest times in the week is when people go and they dig out the weeds and they do all this work. It's such a beautiful picture of the kingdom of God. Well, the greatest act of the Father, oh yeah, I've got an assistant here. My dear friend Nora is going to put these in another box. We're very about boxes. Good job, Nora. Thank you. It's here for Nora. The second one, this tells us about the greatest act of love that this intentional, purposeful creator ever did, is this: for God so loved the world, we know this, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. And these words have meaning. Jesus, Christ meaning anointed, only Son, unique in all of creation, this one who would come uniquely. Our Lord, this idea of this is God with us, divine. He is the Lord, born of Mary, fully human in every single way, human. A promise and a miracle is how Melody described it. This stuff was promised. God was going to bring a Savior to rescue his people, his creation. And through this amazing miracle, this baby born into humility, into obscurity. What will this bring us? It should bring us great joy. That's what the angels first said to the shepherds, right? The shepherds, the lowest rung of the social ladder, the shepherds, no one cared about them. Dirty, filthy shepherds out in the fields, out of the city, in the darkness, doing the job no one else wanted to do. God loves shepherds, though. David talks about God being a shepherd, and it said, we bring you good news that shall be all for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior is born for you. So good news. And the second thing is peace, goodwill, peace to all people. Nora, can you catch? This is fun, isn't it? You know, and then our story took a minor note, a turn. We find out that this one born, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell or to the dead. And what did that mean for us? Well, it means that he broke the power of sin, the wrong that is so strong. We talked about God being the ruler. He's not going to put up with this forever. And he himself comes in Christ to redeem us, to take upon himself all of the dreadful human stuff. There's a great song. It reminds us of the C.S. Lewis quote that I shared, which pictures God in Christ as a diver, diving into this deep water and going down and down and down until he's just in the muck and the mud and the mire, goes down and down and down to rescue this precious thing that is precious to him, and he brings it up. And this thing that he brings up is human nature. It's our nature. And there's a great song that we used to sing sometimes, which describes this. I'm just going to read the lyrics. Who, O Lord, could save themselves? Their own soul could heal. Our shame was deeper than the sea. Your grace is deeper still. You alone can rescue. You alone can save. You alone can lift us from the grave. You came down to find us, led us out of death. To you belongs the highest praise. You, O Lord, have made a way. The great divide you healed. For when our hearts were far away, your love went further still. Yes, your love. We talked about as far down as we can go. That's why it says the word hell, I believe, is the furthest away, the most remote. Whether running or whether lost, he goes further still to gather together all of our nature back to himself. That is the offer in front of us. So what does he offer us? What does it mean? It means freedom. Freedom from shame and fear. Freedom. I'm not going to throw them anymore. I might hit Linda. This is a lot to fit in one morning. Because on the third day, you know, we're going through the whole story. He rose again. He ascended into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again to judge the living and the dead. What does this mean? It means that he broke the power of death. Scripture says that he is the one who has defeated the power of death, and therefore all who are connected to him can pass through death, and death no longer has a sting. Death no longer has the final say or the final word. That we are connected to Christ by his power and his determination. It's the fulfillment of all the promises that God has made. The Creator would recreate, bring newness. And the fact that he's returning, we live each day in the awareness and expectation of his return. Coming towards, we talked about that we are in this day-to-day chronological time of walking through, wearily sometimes. But to think of it as the fact that we don't know when Christ is coming, but he is coming towards us. This thing is coming towards us with love and intention, his return. So it means two things, I think. It means patience and suffering. I've suffered. You've suffered. This is something to grasp onto in our times of suffering. Remember the scripture that Paul said, therefore comfort one another with these words. These are words of encouragement and hope. And the second thing is confidence in prayer. We have one who intercedes on our behalf. We have a connection to God. I'm choosing to believe that God hears and answers prayer. Amen. Period. Full stop. And I'm not going to decide what that answer must be like. If this has taught me anything, is that I am very, very small. And God is very, very good. That I will pray to him. He is my Father. He loves me. He is the one who all things will come into conformity to. So I will align myself with him in prayer, and I will confidently ask my good Father for that which I need, no matter how small, no matter how seemingly weird it might be, because he is for me, not against me. Patience in suffering, confidence in prayer. Nora, how are we doing? This one's a bit fragile. I mean, there's a reason this thing is transparent. You know, we're trying to give some meaning. All these things have a kind of like decorative meaning there, which is really important, I think. More and more as a church, we want to use sight and hearing and touch and all these things to express our worship and to receive God's word. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And it's kind of mysterious. It's interesting. We talked about the fact that it's this one single sentence. Other creeds illuminate more and expand on what that means. But in this creed, God the Father is quite well explained. God the Son most definitely, and the Spirit simply affirms belief in the Spirit. And who is the Spirit? We said not an it, but a person. A person with love, purpose. Like the greatest friend we could ever have, you know? The greatest friend you could ever have is someone will tell you the truth no matter what. I mean, of course, there's limits to that, you know? People joke about, how's my hair looking today? You know, terrible. Be kind, right? But he is the Spirit of truth, and the truth will set us free. And the truth is not always easy to hear. But his love has been fully tested. He has shown his love for us. And now in our lives today, the Spirit is with us. We can walk with him and in step with the Spirit. And not only that, the Spirit is this what's called a deposit to remind us of our purpose and our inheritance, that to which we are moving towards. The Spirit is difficult to explain. The still small voice, the impression that we get, the sense of peace, it is real, and we can seek the Spirit's presence in our lives. What does the Spirit bring? Well, purposeful living. Nothing is random. Nothing is too small to pay attention to. And we can walk with God in the person of the Spirit each and every day. From the moment I open my eyes and wake up in the morning till the moment I go to bed, I can expect God to be working in my life no matter what is happening. And the second thing is spiritual discernment, which is really important these days. God, show me. Okay, carefully, Nora, put this one away, okay? Okay, brilliant. So what's left? Well, one thing that the Spirit does is, and I don't know, there's a lot of mystery in this, right? But brings people from diverse places and unites them as one family from all over the place. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, and Catholic, as you remember, is a word meaning universal. This creed predated the Roman Catholic Church, and this includes Roman Catholics who hold to the same creed that we are holding to today. But it means universal, so church wherever. We talked about visible church, invisible church. Visible church is important because it's a witness. Like the things that we do, the pantry and the garden and our gatherings, they're a witness to not only our community, but the powers and the principalities that God is worthy of our praise and that we, and he dwells with us. But then there's the invisible church, that which we talked about where in my worst of years, I still was, Christ was with me in the most difficult, painful times when by all measure of appearances, I was not looking like a Christian. And I'm sure many people would just have discounted me, but I couldn't shake this, you know, this God orientation towards which I was always pointed in some way, no matter how broken. There are so many people who are part of God's kingdom and maybe they don't look like it to us. The Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Woo, it's too much. What does it mean? Well, first thing, holy means claimed by God for himself. He has claimed us for himself. We are his. The communion of saints, we are made one by God, whether we like it or not, whether we like each other or not, whether we're feeling happy or sad or grumpy. I was a bit grumpy this morning, to tell you the truth. Some of you may have noticed, but none of that changes the unity that we have in the Spirit, which is God's work, not our work. It's our work to support and preserve and work for the unity that we already are given, but it's a given for those who have put their trust in Christ, made free and blameless, forgiveness of sins. Wow, what a weight off our shoulders. And then the last, made to last. Like, you know, they all say about products, right? Built to last. Nothing's built to last. In fact, I'm going to be the grumpy old man. These days, everything you buy is built to fail so you can buy more of them, right? My washing machine that I've had since 19, whenever, it's still working. We're made to last. This is not our death is not the end. We are in the light of eternity, and God is keeping us. So what does that mean for life? It means it's an adventure following Jesus. We talked about a quest, a long and arduous journey towards a purpose or a place, right? We're on a quest. And there's many side quests we talked about, right? And I'm on a side quest today, but I know where my quest is heading this way. God is a good leader. He is a shepherd. We hear his voice. We follow him. And no brother or sister left behind. We want our church to be a place where you feel both responsible for your brothers and your sisters, and also you feel that they are here for you. I'm not an idealistic kind of person that this is a hairy-fairy thing. I believe, because this is true, we can actually do that, but it's going to be hard. It's going to require sacrifices. It's going to require a ton of grace. And maybe a rearrangement of our priorities, but that's a process too. Ah, the church is an adventure, isn't it? Nora. I'm going to invite the band, yeah, thanks, Nora. I'm going to invite the band to come up. So, you know what we've just gone and done? What have we done? We put a bow on it. What? Yeah, we just put God in the box. So, don't we feel good about ourselves? That it's all neat and tidy. We're done now. You can go home. God is understandable, clear. Everything is figured out. We've systematized, categorized, analyzed. God is in his box. And that's the flaw, you know, some of these things. This is where that which is written on a page or on a box cannot contain or, you know, adequately describe the awesome nature of God and what he has done and what he's doing and what he will do. But I think we like to put God in the box. And I got four boxes that we might struggle with. Some because of current situations and some are just universal, I think. The first one is this. It's the Sunday morning religion box. God belongs in a church on a Sunday morning, in religious stuff, right? That's a struggle sometimes. God's not really present in the other places. The second one is this. It's a national or political box. God is Scottish. God is American. God is a Western thing. I just read a really great article this week from an African theologian talking about how strange it is that for so many people, we have this idea that God is kind of a Western reality. God is a universal reality, but if you want to get geographical, God is a Middle Eastern and African reality in terms of who he has shown himself to be in Christ for us. Politics, man. Politics so often seeks to do that. You know why? Because religion is a powerful force. I'm reading a book about the IRA right now and the troubles in Northern Ireland, which I lived through. And it's amazing. I'm reading a chapter and suddenly I'm remembering seeing this thing on the news. And who was the fight between? Well, it was between the Catholics and the Protestants. It's a powerful force to whip up people to take action against one another, to create anger, to build power. God is not in that box. He's above, beyond. He's going to work through it all. We don't need to worry. He is greater still. And we are one. You can have politics. That's fantastic. Switch your brain on. Think about it. Use discernment. Pray about it. But we don't get the liberty to reject our brothers and sisters because we disagree politically. We don't get to do that. Third thing is this. It's the childhood box in the attic. You know, if you're older, you go back to your parents' house and they say, you know, we still have some boxes of your kids' stuff in the attic. Could you please get rid of that? Please take it away this time. For some of us, our faith is in a childhood box in the attic and it's never grown up. It's Sunday school faith. We probably need to take it out, explore, discard that which is no longer keeping up with our maturity. And of course, there'll be some things to keep. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. We sung that before. It's a child's song, but it's for all of the children of God. The last thing is this, a box of religious dogma or sectarian pride. Sectarian just simply means sects. That's what we're trying to address by these ideas that we're a non-denominational church. We should be a place where people of various backgrounds spiritually, or those who are even just seeking in a process of trying to understand what it might mean for there to be a God, can feel a certain degree of safety and welcome and hospitality. Dogma can be dangerous. There's people who have died for this, some of whom have given their lives willingly against powers that, to whom, yeah, they were right to stand up for, but sometimes Christians have killed Christians for a small Greek word that was different. But I think the main thing we need to realize is that God is bigger than our words and bigger than these things, because he has come and he is here. I'm going to share this, one of my favorite quotes by an author named Annie Dillard. It talks about Sunday morning, and no one's wearing a straw hats here this morning or like whatever. You'll get it when I read it. Okay, on the whole, she said, I do not find Christians sufficiently sensible of conditions. Does anyone have the foggiest idea of what sort of power we so blithely invoke? Or, as I suspect, does no one believe a word of it? The church is their children playing on the floor with their chemistry sets, making up a batch of TNT to kill a Sunday morning. It is madness to wear ladies' straw hats and velvet hats to church. We should all be wearing crash helmets. Ushers should issue life preservers and signal flares. They should lash us to our pews. For the sleeping God may wake someday and take offense, or the waking God may draw us out to where we can never return. This is the living God with whom we are called to engage beyond power, beyond might, beyond understanding, perfect in love, perfect in righteousness, perfect in faithfulness. You know, there's one final part of the creed that we've not talked about yet, and it's a single word, and it was original to the creed from early times. Does anyone know what that word is? Amen. It's amen. What does amen mean? Well, I know the guy at church I used to go to used to always, instead of saying amen, he'd say, may it be so. May it be so. And Jesus used that word many, many times. In fact, Jesus used that word in the Gospels reported 102 times. He said, sometimes in translation, says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, amen, amen, may it be so. And here's the crux of the matter. We talked about that concentric circles thing, and who is at the center is Jesus, the person, not the idea, not the principle, not the moral compass, but Jesus, the person. In John chapter 1, it says, no one has ever seen God, but God, the only Son who is at the Father's side, has made God known. This is our goal. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. You want positivity? There's the modern positivity, ancient positivity for us. Every promise made by God is yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken to us, by us, to the glory of God. And that's the conclusion part of these affirmations. So if you affirm these statements, and once again, if you're pondering right now, I'm not going to coerce you into saying something that you don't believe in currently, but maybe faith can come a bit ahead and you're compelled to think, I'm going to say that I want to believe this and I'm going to speak it. We're going to say the creed together for anyone who wishes to join with this. And we're going to say amen after each one. You ready? Here we go. Amen. That's funny. It can be such a throwaway word sometimes. Amen, 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 amen. It's a powerful word. It means, yeah, may it be so, God. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Amen. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Amen. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. Amen. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. Amen. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 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 Will you stand? We're going to sing a song before we enter into the station, and I'll give some instructions about that in just a minute. Let's sing together this creed.